remaining standing, let us pray. Father, over the next 4 weeks, and even just today for those who are here, would you speak to us that we might encounter you through your word and understand how to place our faith and trust in you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our Lord, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. It's great to be back after a week in Colorado. I'll talk more about that in a minute. I was hoping to be able to memorize this sermon and speak it from down there, but with the electricity going out and having it be 171 degrees in our house last night, didn't get much sleep. I'm going to stick here to the pulpit, if that's okay. Indeed, we're taking the next 4 weeks to look at the whole idea of faith. What does it mean to have faith? What does it mean to be a person of faith? To live a life of faith? Many of you know that we live in a culture of belief. Latest statistics show about 79 or 80% of people in our culture claim to believe in the God of the Bible. But are we a culture with very little faith? What's the difference between belief and faith? Again, this past week I was in Colorado with some leaders in our Anglican movement. And the first day we had them rappel off on a 150-foot cliff. Now there is nothing better than watching some sure, confident bishops go over backwards over a cliff. I got to tell you, there was some joy in there. Because all of them believe that the rope would hold them. And sure, we're confidence repelling. You get them on top and they're looking down and they're inching over. And the question is, do they have faith? See, belief is, sure, I know it's going to be okay and they'd never hurt us. But belief is not faith. Faith is belief in action. I believe so much, I'm willing to put my faith in it and actually go off the cliff. Just so you know, they all survived. They all survived. Belief is an intellectual assent to some statements or core values. Faith is a belief, putting that faith in action, that belief in action. So what does it mean to live a life of faith in practical terms? 2012, Baltimore, Maryland. Well, we're going to go through the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 for the next 4 weeks. Today we get to Abraham. Abraham's going to teach us a lot about what it means to live a life of faith. First, if you're taking notes, Abraham's going to teach us about the source of faith. The source of faith. If you remember our Old Testament reading, in Genesis chapter 12, God breaks into Abraham's life. He speaks to him personally and says, I'm inviting you to enter into my plan to redeem the world. But I want you to leave here and to trust me, leave your comfort zone, leave your father's family, and I want you to go to a place that I will give your descendants. The Lord appears to him. What's the point? A life of faith begins with a personal encounter with the living God. That's where a life of faith begins. You see, a life of faith is not purely about having information about God. Now, many of you grew up in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And the phrase, evidence that demands a verdict. Do you remember that book that came out? Josh McDowell was going to convince you that the gospel was real. And it gave us great information about why we should believe in the resurrection, how we know the Bible's reliable, right? Exciting. And many people read that and say, I now believe. But Josh McDowell's point of writing that book was not so you could actually say, yeah, I actually believe the resurrection exists. It was to point you to the God who actually rose from the dead. Well, we've had a shift in the 90s and the 2000s and now 2012. Many young people don't want to read books about evidence for the faith. They want to know, can it work? Is it real and practical? The idea is actually the same. Can we actually experience God today? Some of you, especially you baby boomers, had to come to a knowledge and an experience of Christ through information. Many coming up now want to jump right to experience. You notice that in the hymns we sing. You know, we do a balance here at Resurrection. Many of the hymns prior to 1950 were about theology and theological truth. The church is one foundation. It teaches us intellectually about what we need to know. And many of you are uncomfortable with some of the songs that are coming out now because it's all about encountering Christ. We want to sing about, we want to tell him how we feel about him. Especially you 50, 60, 70 year old men. You're like, what's all this feeling thing? Let's get back to theology, right? I don't want to sing five times over, I love you, God. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. A life of faith is rooted in a real, practical experience of God that's initiated by Him. Isn't this the gospel itself? Romans tells us that while we were still sinners, rebelling against God, doing our own thing, living as our own gods, Christ died for us. He took the initiative. He made it possible for us to come back. Here's the deal. God, in Jesus Christ, wants to meet you personally. He wants to speak to you through His Word. He wants not to save you and clean you up. He wants to call you into His redemptive purposes. And this is where a life of faith begins. God takes the initiative with people. This is the gospel. He speaks today through His Word. He speaks through His Holy Spirit. Let me ask you, as you sit in church on a hot July 1st, have you ever experienced God? Do you know Jesus Christ? Because you will never live a life of faith unless that happens. A couple of months ago, I prayed with someone to receive Christ. And they said, okay, tell me what to say. And I gave them the sinner's prayer. God, I admit that I'm a sinner and I need you. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Come into my life, wash me clean, and make me your son or daughter. And I think this person actually said this prayer. And then nothing happened. And they were very disappointed. And I started thinking about this, and I was thinking to myself, okay, well, wait a minute. Are you putting your faith in Christ because you want something to happen to you? Because you're feeling guilty about your sins, or you want to experience some sort of joy or excitement that other people talk about? Or are you praying that prayer because your heart's desire is to know and experience God Himself? You see, when we talk about experiencing God, we're not talking about experiencing an experience. We're getting ourselves all worked up or feeling forgiven. All those things may happen. We're talking about literally meeting the God of the universe. A life of faith begins when God breaks into your world and introduces himself to you and says, "You're mine, come and follow me," as Jesus said. So first, the source of a life of faith is knowing Christ. Some of you, you believe in Christ. You come to church. You love our liturgy, especially on a day like today when it's right one and really formal. But you've never encountered the God of the universe like Abraham did. Now, we know Abraham had a unique place in salvation history, but he points us to the gospel that we can know Christ. Source of faith is knowing Christ. Secondly, the power of faith. Abraham teaches us about the power of faith. Look at verse 8. Let's read it. By faith, having a sure confidence in God because he met him, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Verse 9, by faith he made his home in a foreign country. He lived in a tent. He was looking forward to a city with foundations. Verse 10. Where does the power come from to live a life of faith? It begins with meeting Christ, but do you see it right there? Abraham was given a new vision of reality. So many of us, again, we've talked about this in our Kingdom Come series, have this vision of our reality. We live in this little bubble, and we invite God into our bubble. God, help me on my test. Help me prepare a sermon. Help my kids. And we invite God into our bubble. And yet what happened to Abraham? God broke in and said, step out of your bubble and come live in my bubble. I'm going to follow you. So we step out and we say, God, now we're in your world. And we'll follow you. You see, the power for Abraham after he encountered Christ came from a vision of a bigger picture, a bigger life other than himself. Abraham, I'm not showing myself to you so that I can fix your perfect life or make your life perfect, so I can give you and meet your need and make you the person you always wanted to be. I've revealed myself to you because I've got a plan, I'm doing a work, and I'm inviting you into it. And so the power was, God, following you, I want to be a part of what you're doing. Well, how is that power, you ask? Let me give you an example. You're in the marketplace. You have a coworker you can't stand. They're anti-God, they're anti-you, and you're a Christian. Do you have a vision for that person's life greater than what you see and experience? Let's say you were once that person before you met Christ. You were selfish, arrogant, you were putting down God, and God broke into your life with love and grace and began to change you and give you a vision for a life bigger than your own. And then he says, look, now that you've experienced my love and grace, I want you to share that love and grace wherever you go. I want to give you a vision for your workplace you never had before. And all of a sudden, you see sinners totally differently. As Christ has changed you and the gospel has shaped your power and he's called you to this life of faith, you see your coworker differently. It happened to me on the plane flying back from Colorado. This waitress, flight attendant, excuse me, acting a little out of character. I kind of prayed for her. I got up to use the restroom and I started talking to her. 20 minutes later, I shared the gospel with her. I wasn't judging her by her outward appearance or how I thought she had treated the other passengers. Man, when I know that God's changed me, God's called me into his plan, I can then see people differently. Let me give you another example. You're in a dead-end job. Or maybe you don't have a job. Or maybe you have no money. And you're thinking, God, why don't you provide for my needs? Why have you put me in this dead-end job? When you're living a life of faith, you know that God can transform every experience. I'm not saying that he might be calling you to leave that job. But the idea is you have a bigger vision of reality. It's not about my personal happiness. It's not about accumulating more wealth or being happy. It's about joining God in his call and work. This shapes our view of reality. We can endure anything. One of my biggest opponents when we started Holy Trinity Church was a doctor in the town. He didn't like me. He didn't like the gospel. Very upset with our church that we were kind of talking about Jesus all the time. We don't do this in Episcopal Anglican churches. Tried to love him and serve him. There's nothing I could do. He ended up leaving our church. Well, almost leaving our church. A couple weeks before Christmas, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. First call was back to our church. I went to visit him in the hospital. Through that experience, he came to Christ and came to faith and experienced the power of Christ. And for the last 2 years of his life, he went all over Raleigh telling about the good news that Jesus had done. He never once said, God, why did you give me pancreatic cancer? This is so unfair. When he encountered Christ, he had a bigger reality. He said, I can't believe God would be so gracious as to get my attention, to give me this cancer so I could meet him and then spread the gospel. And God used Steve Montgomery powerfully in the city of Raleigh. I'm not saying we wish cancer on anybody, but the point is, when he encountered Christ, his view of reality changed. There was a power to live a life of faith based on his encounter and the call that God had on his life. Here's my point. The power to live a life of faith does not come from being good or gaining more knowledge. It comes from joining God in his work wherever we are. For Abraham, it was go to the promised land, live a life of faith, and I'll show you. For you, or for me, it might be God saying, I want you to go into your workplace and share the love of Christ. I want you to endure a hard marriage and get a vision for marriage that you never thought possible, and then pray my will into your marriage. Wow. It may be I want you to stick in that hardship, because remember, they were strangers in a strange land. It was tough going. And I want you to get my vision for reality. The source of our faith is encountering Christ. The power for faith is joining God in his work in the world and getting his vision of reality for your life and for the life of those around you. But then finally, the goal of faith. What's the goal of faith? If we were to ask many Christians in our culture what the goal of faith is, they might say, live a good life. Become a better person. Please God. Have a better life now. What's the problem, if you know Hebrews 11, with that kind of thinking? None of these people were very good. Abraham sells his wife to a Pharaoh to save his own skin. Right? Moses was a murderer. We're going to talk about him next week. They weren't necessarily good people. And this is after they'd experienced God in some cases. What is the goal of faith? To see what God sees and go where God goes. To join God in His purposes and His plans. To get on board not with our own agenda for our lives, but with God's agenda for our lives and the life of others. Why did they go obey? Look what it says here. Verse 10. For they were looking forward to a city with its foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Look again at verse 16. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Look at that word. Do you see it? Looking ahead in verse 10. And longing. Sehnsucht in the German. Longing for a greater city. The goal of faith is to fulfill our deepest longings. Wait a minute, David. Are you saying there is some self kind of satisfaction in this whole life of faith thing? When Abraham responded to God's call, when he received a vision and joined God in His work, he realized his longings could never be fulfilled in this world. A life of faith leads to the realization that the end game is something far greater than anything in this world could ever stand for. How does this work out in real life? I was with some bishops this week and some other leaders. And many ministers fall into that trap of thinking, if we just had a bigger church or a better church, all my longings will be fulfilled. I'll just tell you. A life of faith says, I'm a stranger and alien in this world, and my deepest longings will only be met in the city of God. What are your deepest longings? Health? Healing? Security? Having more money? I know my deepest longing this morning actually was electricity in my home. Yesterday, during dinner, we went around in our family and we said, what are the blessings of losing electricity? We could have gone around twice. My kids were like, wow, look what we've learned in not having electricity for 24 hours. You mean our deepest longings aren't fulfilled when we have air conditioning? The goal of faith, meeting God, joining Him in His purposes, and finally realizing our full longings will only be met in the city that is to come. Faith allows us to see this isn't our ultimate home. That life will never be perfect on this side of the grave, and only will our heart's desires be met in Christ and in His eternal city. The goal of faith isn't to be a better person, or have the best church, or live a life of purpose here on earth, but to join God in His purposes for the eternal city, which means we can endure anything. All right, let me conclude with this. Do you see the gospel in this? Do you see the gospel in the life of Abraham? Jesus, fully God, received a call to redeem humanity. He came to earth, took on flesh. The source of that call was in God Himself, His desire to redeem humanity. The power for the call was, Hebrews 12 tells us, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand. Jesus had a vision for rebuilding the people of God, and it allowed Him to endure anything, even the cross, even to say, Lord, not my will be done, but Your will be done. Jesus had perfect faith in action that allowed him to even to suffer and experience suffering. And then, of course, the goal of faith, Jesus fulfilling God's plan and redeeming humanity. You are the goal of his faith. Jesus did all of that because he wanted you to experience God and his purposes and the city of God forever. So how do we develop this faith? It's through Christ. He's had perfect faith. He lived perfect faith. And he did it all to join God's purposes so that we could experience God and have perfect faith. I see on the looks of your faces you're totally confused. I wish I was Tim Keller. He'd explain it much better. Here's my point. Jesus lived the perfect faith so that you and I could begin to have this kind of faith. It was Jesus who revealed himself to Abraham and gave him the strength and the power to call him into this plan of salvation. And it is Jesus who will give you his faith as you get to know him and experience him. As you experience Christ, you'll build faith. As you experience Christ, you'll join Christ in what he's doing in your families, in your workplace, in your everyday world. And as you experience Christ and what he's done, your longings can be fulfilled even now. You may not get electricity. You may not get that perfect job or that perfect spouse or whatever your heart thinks it's longing for. But you will get God and get a vision of the city, and it will be enough. It was enough for Abraham. We'll learn about it enough in Moses and the other heroes we'll look at in the next few weeks. I want to invite you into a life of faith. You know the excitement that's been going on here at Resurrection over the last few months? You can almost feel it. God is going to call our entire church into this adventure of faith. We need to experience Him daily. That's why we're doing the Bible reading program this summer. Not just to read the Bible, but to experience Christ. We need to get His vision of reality, not only for our church, but our lives. And then ultimately, we need to know where we're going. Are we going just to get a better life individually? Or are we going just to build a better church and be a city on a hill? No. The goal of our faith is Christ and His vision, and it will only be fulfilled when we see Him face to face. So let me ask you. Have you experienced a life of faith because you know Jesus? Is the power to live every day coming from the vision of reality that God wants to give you of your life? Do you have God's vision for your life? And is the goal so far beyond you, you're willing to wait for it? Let's pray for that gift of faith. That gift of faith that we might experience Christ, receive power to endure because we have a vision of a bigger life better than ourselves, and understand that the goal will be found as we know Him and grow in Him and see Him face to face. Let's pray. So, Lord, I confess, even as I'm speaking, I'm not clear in my own mind what I'm saying. Would you make this whole life of faith true to us in the next 4 weeks? Would you help us to encounter you? To pray prayers, not just to pray prayers or feel a feeling or get something done, but to experience you. God, would you give us a vision of reality of our lives? Would you give us your perspective on what we're going through and where we are? God, would you forgive us for placing our longings in things that are less than you and your city that will come? Would you shape us? Would you use us and speak to us individually and as a church? God, that we might live lives of faith like Abraham. And as we walk, that we would be conformed in your image. Send your Holy Spirit. Make this message true and understandable. And God, may we continue to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit in lives of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.